be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisee saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.' I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. How do you measure the greatness of any nation? Is it in their guns, or in their gold, or in their glory? Communist Russia clearly believes their greatness is symbolized in their guns, their military superiority to all other nations. That is why they waged the Cold War against the United States. And still do. Maybe it's gold. In 1776, the Scottish economist Adam Smith wrote his revolutionary book, The Wealth of Nations. He argued for gold as a symbolic standard for greatness. So he wrote humorously, "Man is an animal that makes bargains. No other animal does this. No dog exchanges bones with another." In other words, money should measure greatness. Or is it glory? The Roman Empire was supposedly started by two brothers named Romulus and Remus. Born in 771 BC, they were the sons of a human mother, Rhea Silvia, and Mars, the god of war. That is, the roots of Rome purportedly had divine origin, and so, of course, they were destined for glory. In contrast to guns and gold and glory, you have the founding of the United States of America. At the foot of the Statue of Liberty, the ostensible symbol of our country, Lady Liberty says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." In other words, our greatness, the greatness of our nation, lies precisely in how we welcome the poor. Yes, we too have guns and gold and glory, to be sure, but our true greatness is guaranteed by our love for the poor. In the first reading today, the prophet Amos takes aim at what should be the cause of Israel's greatness, but sadly it isn't, namely their care for the less fortunate. Amos says, "Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land." And Amos goes on to predict dire consequences that will be in store for a nation who boasts of its guns and gold and glory instead of taking care of the poor. That is, the way God measures a people's greatness is their love for the needy. This weekend, we begin the festivities of July 4th, Independence Day, and the foundation of our own nation. Do we still believe in the poem of Emma Lazarus that the poor should be our priority and our pride? Or have we, like the other nations, begun to believe that greatness lies in guns and gold and glory? But several signs show me that the poor are still our priority. Whenever there is some humanitarian crisis, a natural disaster, for instance, the United States is the first to come to the aid of the needy. Whenever oppressive regimes kill and control their people, the U.S. does not stand by idly. Within our own borders, we constantly fight for the marginalized, the elderly, the immigrants, the unborn, anyone who does not enjoy basic human rights. In other words, we don't want Amos to take aim at us because we are trampling the needy and destroying the poor of the land. Pope St. John Paul II said, "A society will be judged on the basis of how it treats its weakest members." That is why we celebrate Independence Day. That should be the grounds of our greatness, not dogs exchanging bones. Praised be Jesus Christ.